this then, yeah. Okay. So, this is Forrest Solis interviewing Stacey Barr for the Creative Push Project. Stacey, have you been given the consent agreement form?
Yes, I have.
And you agree to the terms?
Yes, I do.
All right, we'll get started. Okay. So could you start by telling us a little bit about yourself?
I am now 52 years old. I've been in Scottsdale for about 25 years. And I sell art for Gibbert Contemporary on Main Street. Yeah. And I've been there for quite some time, 14 years now. Yeah, love selling art.
Could you tell us a little bit about your family?
I met my significant other, Jim Ebert, in 2003. And in 2005, we got pregnant with our little girl-to-be, and she was due January 18th, 2006.
Do you remember anything specifically about that time? Was it, you know, excruciatingly hot, or was there an event or something that could kind of like situate us?
It was April 2005 that I was pregnant. Jim was turning 50. I was planning a 50th birthday party for him is what I remember. And then finding out that I was pregnant washed the 50th birthday party down the drain, because eventually, after I had Georgia, I spent 3 days in the hospital and we came home on his 50th birthday. So he's just 3 days behind her, his birthday. Yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit about your pregnancy?
It was enjoyable. I was forced to be healthier. I was forced to not drink wine every day of my life.
Can I interrupt you for one second?
Yes.
Can you say my pregnancy was...
Oh, yes.
Sorry about that.
Okay. No. Okay. Sorry, I'm just a little... Okay.
No, I know.
My pregnancy was fabulous. I was healthy. I was happy as I could possibly be. Jim was living in Coronado at the time, so we only spent weekends together. So not only did I live alone, but I still worked. I worked to the last minute, like days before I had her. I constantly got the comment, which I loved, and I don't know why women are so offended by "you're all baby." You know how women say that, and to other women who are pregnant, and I thought it was fabulous because I was all baby. She was big, and it was lovely. It was great. It was the best.
So did you carry high or low, or did you have any?
Ooh, I don't know. I think I was right in the middle, because I remember January 1st, my sister-in-law saying, you don't look like you're ready to deliver. And she was due on the 16th or 18th or something. But I had gone to the doctor a few weeks before she was due and saw the nurse practitioner. And the nurse practitioner felt the head and said, "She's great, everything's great." Well, I went back a couple weeks later to see the doctor just a week before I was due. And she felt her butt, not her head. So Georgia was breech. So her toes were on her face, basically, and her butt was ready to deliver. So that's when I was told that C-section. And no other way to do it unless we try to turn the baby, but she was 9 pounds. I mean, she came out at 9 pounds, 5 ounces, so there was not really not a lot of space in there to move her around. So, I got to pause.
It's okay. Did you take any, like, prenatal classes or have a birth plan or any of that?
No prenatal classes, no birth plan. A little bit of reading. I just felt really comfortable with it for whatever reason. And I knew that when delivery time came, it was going to be whatever it was. It was either going to be, you know, extremely crazy or painful or whatever. So I just sort of blocked that out of my head that day to come and just enjoyed it as I went. And everything went along pretty swimmingly, except for the C-section. Because I was a little disappointed that I wasn't going to experience whatever, which is kind of ridiculous, because once it was all said and done, I was sort of glad that it went that way. But should I just keep going? I'm sorry. So I was scheduled for a C-section on the 18th at 10:30 in the morning, but on the 18th at about 1 o'clock in the morning, my water broke after a lovely lobster dinner, a little wine, a little bit of champagne, calming me. My water broke, so we were off to the hospital about 1 o'clock, 1:30, and I had her about 3:15. Well, I had, the day before I'd had my hair done, and the women at the salon started to tell me their experiences with C-section, and that one of them told me that she had her arms tied down. You know, they lay you out, your arms are out to your sides, and they tie your arms down so you don't do anything you shouldn't be doing. So I was a little worried about that, and I did ask the guy who was starting to strap me down if I could just have my arms free, and he said yeah. So I'll just keep going about the delivery. Is that okay? So let's see. Anesthesia, and first and foremost, the epidural, which I was a little bit afraid of. I knew I was going to have one, but I was a little concerned because just the whole part that half of your body is numb is a little bit odd for me. So I had that done, and then had an anesthesiologist practically put me out. I mean, I don't know why I was given so much, but I was so out of it that I don't remember a whole bunch of it, but I do remember her being so large that the doctor, well, Jim told me this later, Jim, my significant other, told me later that the doctor was actually yanking her, and I could feel like my whole body moving because she was so big, just trying to yank her out. Plus she was breached, so that made it a little harder for her to get her out. Anyway, after she was born, it was lovely and wonderful, and she was perfect, and I was exhausted, and I slept for probably 10 hours. It was impossible for me to stay awake, impossible for me to hold her. Friends came in to see her, and I couldn't even hold her. I was so out of it. They gave me so much medicine. Can we take a break?
Yeah.
I'm sweating. So going back, I was at this hair salon, as I told you, the day before, and the girls had told me a few horror stories and about having my arm strapped down, and that they're going to do that when I go there. I knew not at all what to expect. And it was a long time getting me from getting into the hospital and then getting me into the operation room or delivery room, and laid down, got the epidural, which I thought was very unusual and I was very uncomfortable with, simply because my lower half was numb. And I just remember laying there thinking, this is going to be over soon. I didn't enjoy that part at all. And asked whoever was strapping my arms down if they didn't have to strap them down, and he said, no, we don't have to, just don't, you know, touch anything or put your hands anywhere. And then received a good dose of anesthesia. And in fact, I do remember this was quite funny. The anesthesiologist, his crotch was like kind of against my head, and he was reading a book while I was having a baby. So he didn't seem to care so much about me having a baby. But so as they did whatever they did, they were ready to yank her out, and they started to pull, and they couldn't get her out. And Jim tells me later that the doctor actually had to put his leg up on the table and yank at her, because again, she was butt first, so she kind of got stuck. And I could feel my body moving, and then the anesthesiologist was quite interested in what was going on, because then there he was again, like, he didn't even realize that I was there, basically, you know. So that was quite interesting. And then she was born, and I don't really remember hearing her cry. I remember being concerned about things like, what were they going to do to her, what the things that they put in her eyes, make them, I'm not even sure what it does, but they had convinced me that it was the thing to do. And just remember laying there with the sheet in front of me, not being able to see anything except up over my head, and just looking at the ceiling and looking at the lights, being tired, being exhausted, and ready for it to be done. So Jim and Georgia spent a lot of time together because I was out. I mean, apparently they had given me too much. And plus it was 3:15 in the morning, so I was tired. I got up at 1 and here it was 3:15 and I was a bit tired. So I slept through a lot of it, but just periodically woke up and later saw images that Jim had took all morning while I slept of he and Georgia in the mirror. And, you know, so, and they're very, very close now. I think it's so wonderful. And I think a lot of it is that time they spent together. As soon as I came out, I didn't hold her, you know, she didn't come to me like you see on TV, here's your baby, you know. He just kind of took her and brought her to me and showed me. And then, you know, I just could not keep my eyes open to save my life. So, anyway, next day, people are kind of slowly coming in and still can't keep my eyes open. Some good friends came in, Cindy and Jeremy, and she was pregnant as well, and came in and was holding Georgia, and I was trying desperately to stay awake, so I'm like laying there probably with my mouth open or something. And eventually got a good bit of sleep. And woke up in the afternoon, and Jim had to go home because he had been at the hospital and awake for, you know, however many hours, 24 hours or whatever. And spent a little time with Georgia by myself, and then the nurses came and got her and said, you know, you need to go to sleep, so why don't we take her? And they took her down to the nursery and kept her overnight, which was nice. And I got some sleep, but ended up staying in the hospital for 3 days. So I had her Wednesday. I was Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night in the hospital, and a nice room, nice view. You know, I could see outside. It looked like a beautiful day. I couldn't really go out. In fact, I asked the doctor maybe about Thursday or Friday if I could go outside, and she said, oh, it's windy, you know, you don't really want to go outside. And to me, I was just dying in there, in that room by myself, you know. So when it came time to leave, I walked out the door and just started bawling and bawled the whole way home. And I don't think Jim gets it still, you know, it was just overwhelming to me. Just walked out and went, oh, and it was the most fabulous day, Scottsdale, Arizona. You know, probably 75 degrees in January. And I just walked out and cried, and I got home and poured myself a big glass of wine. And, you know, family came to visit. And as far as breastfeeding, yeah, I did breastfeed for about 3 months. And the woman, what I don't know what she's called, the woman that teaches the women how to breastfeed was quite helpful and said it was okay to have a glass of wine. And so I thought, okay, well, that's great, thanks. So she was quite helpful, and I did breastfeed. Recovery was a little bit difficult because I'm not very good at staying home. When I got home, you know, the first thing I did was get on the phone, call my mom, call my sister. They were coming to visit. But I remember that evening, just everything was different. It's like when you go away on a vacation, you come home, and it's you kind of have to get back in the swing of things, but everything was just different when I got home. Nothing was the same. My biggest concern about having a baby was the loss of time to myself. Biggest concern. It wasn't anything else. It wasn't giving up this or giving up that. It was the loss of privacy. Even though you would have time to yourself, you know that little child is always going to come back. You have 15 minutes. They're at school. You're always going to pick them up. You're always going to have this responsibility for the rest of your life. And that was why I waited so long. I mean, I was never ready until I finally was ready, I guess. So, let's see what else. Help me out. What else? I mean, there's so much.
Was there anything that surprised you about the experience?
About the birth mm-hmm. experience? Well, no, because I didn't know what to expect, and I didn't have any expectations whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, no. And I, you know, I heal pretty quickly. I'm not, you know, I guess the healing time wasn't that big of a deal. But no surprises about the birth at all. Boring.
No, I don't think so.
Do I ruin it when I say things later? No, because you just cut that out.
I think you're good. How is it living with the scar, though? Does it remind you of it, or is it just completely gone now?
Well, yeah, it's nothing. I mean, it's very small. The scar is very small from the C-section. And no, never bothered me. But I remember... the nurse that took the stitches out asked me, do you ever grow your hair up here? Because then you won't even see this scar. I'm like, no, I don't. I never grow my hair up there. But well, I thought that was hilarious. I'm like, no, the scar's here. But the bathing suit covers it up nicely. So, yeah.
I think we're pretty good. Yeah, I think we're actually good.
No. So after having Georgia and being around Jim, especially when we got home, I had never felt closer to anybody in my life than I did to him, and I was madly in love with him. And that didn't change. And the father that he is to her, they are the best of friends. He can do no wrong in her eyes, none. And they do everything together, and they are just two peas. I love them madly.